Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with pastor teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio.
Joshua 13:1. Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. We already come to the place where the bulk of the land has already been taken. The wars, for the most part, of Joshua's conquests have already been successful and they've triumphed and now they've taken the bulk of the land. But if you notice in verse 1, he says that there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. What we need to do right off the shoot here when we're looking at this in the kingdom is we have to, rather than retreat, we must always be looking to take ground. We must always be looking to advance the kingdom. We cannot rely and sit in our ships in port. Even though the bulk of the land here has been taken, Joshua still says, there yet remaineth much land to be taken. And that describes what his heart is. Joshua is a hungry man. He's not in the mediocrity camp. He is not, well, let's just coast now that we've accomplished a certain thing. Once we get to a certain plateau, a person that is of the Christian stripe needs to be hungry. You need to be desiring to always be moving forward in the camp to advance the kingdom, especially in a time like this when our country is in need. The Christian man is the one who needs to stand up. We cannot let the wagon just float downhill. We must be the ones to sit at the helm. And so even though the bulk of the land here is taken, what he's going to do now is he's going to tell us how to maintain that foundation. Now we all know the verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And so even though they have the land here, they're going to maintain it. And so what we are going to do is we are going to try to be part of the help that keeps America great again. We're going to keep it that way. And so we have to recognize then that we have a dual citizenship here. We are citizens of this republic. And we are invited and instructed to get involved. And of course we're citizens of glory. And so we are always to be advancing the kingdom, which then in turns then advances the greatness of our own country. So we have to remember that we have a dual citizenship that we are responsible for. Well, we see the structure here laid out after now that they have taken the bulk of the land. Joshua at this point now is dividing the land. He calls it the inheritance, the promised land, and he gives it by way of borders. He gives it the inheritance. Jesus Christ, the heir of all things, has given the land as an inheritance to his people. He's given the promised land to them. So Joshua, now as he is in his older years, is drawing up the borders. Now notice there's something interesting though as he does this that we could learn from in verse 14. He says, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. Everybody else is getting land, getting their borders, their pastures. But the children of Levi, he says, only he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And if you were to jump down to the end of the chapter in verse 33, he repeats it. He says, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now it's interesting too, this is not an afterthought. Joshua is the one divvying up the land. But he doesn't say that Joshua gave them the land. He says that Moses gave him the land. So this is pre-planned. This isn't an afterthought. This is actually very critical to the survival of the nation of Israel. So therefore to our nation and any other nation to do likewise. So what he's saying here is that all the other tribes are going to have this vast agriculture land. They're going to have family farms that are large herds of livestock. They're going to be farmers. They're going to be herdsmen. They're going to be shepherds. They're going to have this wonderfully successful time in the promised land, but not the tribe of Levi. Now, the Levi is going to have to sacrifice. They don't get their own land. They have to rely on the Lord. Brothers, that's what we're called to do. We are called to sacrifice. We are called to serve, to do things. Be not hearers of the word only, but be doers, which would take sacrifice. You see, the world wants us to just worry about our paychecks and to worry about our money and to worry about our retirement and to worry about this and to worry about our homes and worry about this and worry about our family, which all seemingly is good. That's why he says in Hebrews, watch out for the sin that so easily besets you. It just seems like we're not doing anything wrong, but yet it's transferring us to living carnally. We're thinking carnal. And Paul says, set your affections on things above. And so we are called to serve. Now, if we do this, though, we will see things and hear things and know things that the average people don't know. God is a debtor to no one. If we sacrifice for the kingdom and for the king, he certainly will repay bountifully. Just by the effects of seeing things and to know things, the coincidences that take place in our lives, God, the Spirit, will become so much more alive to us on a daily basis. If we only lose our lives for his sake, we will find it. So what we're looking at then here is, again, he says, but unto the tribe of Levi, which is a play on words, because Levi, the name, means attached or joined to. And it's interesting in the irony, because this is the only tribe that is not attached, that is not adjoined to. And so when we're looking at this, he says, unto the tribe of Levi, and then he ends the verse, as he said unto them. So let's go back to Numbers and see what it was that he was saying to them in the first place. In Numbers, in the law written by Moses for us, in Numbers 35, Numbers 35:1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possessions cities to dwell in. So he's not leaving us homeless. He's saying, you can't own the land. I'm not giving you an inheritance where you get your own tribal land, but you're not going to be homeless. God will take care of them. And so what he's doing is he's talking to the other believers around, and he's saying, look, this is commanded that the children of Israel, that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. So it says in 3, and the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them, the outskirts, shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for their beasts. So they do have some things that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. The idea here that he is saying is that you don't have land of your own so that you're not entangled with the affairs of this life. Paul writes that to Timothy. Be not entangled with the affairs of this life, which is a difficult verse for pastors, for me to teach. People ask me that, because how entangled should we be? He doesn't say. So let every man work out his salvation with fear and trembling. But either way, we know we ought not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. I thought to myself while I was sitting there, I said, good night, I'm 48 years old. And then I thought, wait a minute, I think I'm only 47. I can't even remember. Are you 47 or are you 48? And I thought, 48, that's close to 50. And I'm like, oh, 50 and then, you know, 70. I'm almost done. That's terrible. But we're close. And some of you are closer. A lot closer. We need, brothers, to set our affections on things above. Enough of the nonsense. Put the stuff behind us. We got a kingdom that's going to last forever. We have a millennial reign that will last for 1,000 years, where we will rule and reign beside him as the king. And let me tell you something. If we were to go back into the book and look at Caleb, he got the mountain that he wanted 40 years prior. God remembered that is his mountain, no one else's. And when you serve here in the nation of the red, white, and blue, I do believe that during the millennium, we will actually occupy the land we live in and rule and reign here in our own area in the millennium. It's that real. We're not just on cloud and smoke. He is saying to them, I don't want you to have lands of your own because it'll be so tempting for you. Now, you're going to have cattle and you're going to have some farming and you're not going to go without. God will take care, but don't be greedy and lustful, which as Americans we are. We are so wealthy. Now, what he's saying there is I'm going to separate this particular tribe of Levi, and you guys, the priests, are going to live among the other tribes. And then we know what then that'll take place. So there's three things that are going to be accomplished by them doing this. They're going to be judicial, they're going to be legislative, and actually some will be medical. All from the priests, from the believers, the ones who will lead these things. For the judicial, they're going to have righteous judgments in the land. You're going to have a little bit of spits between brothers, and you're going to have come to someone and make a righteous judgment. You're going to have sentences dealt out for crimes that are committed, because we're all sinners, and we do lie, cheat, and steal, and so we're going to have to pay for some of these things. So they're going to be judicial, and it's going to be done righteously. They're going to be legislative, so they're going to be in there among these people, instructing them of the law, of the prophets, of the word of God that is giving to them. The priests also are in charge of the music then too. The Levites who are leading the music so that we live in heavenly sound. And of course, even some medical things. It's interesting in the Bible where the guy gets a disease and he says, well, go show yourself to the priest. You have leprosy. Well, I need a doctor. No, you need a priest. Because there's this sin problem that needs to be dealt with first. And so the priest, even there, is given to things. He declares if you're clean or unclean. So the priest here, then, is our assets in the community there. In the New Testament, elders, teachers, deacons are called gifts to the local church. And so here, they are gifts, these people. They have to know the law. We have to know. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We have the biggest wool pulled over our eyes right now from the media that has closed down our entire country. And the churches closed down before they were even told to. We need to learn things. We need to know things. We need to hear things from the Word of God. How do we behave? We look for the straight gate. And so the things need to be taught in a judicial and a legislative way. Now, we just came across this just of late because we had a Minutemen youth activity. And the Minutemen that we have are 12 fine young boys that are just, they just are militant people. I mean, they are wonderful. And you can put them to work and they are like grasshoppers in your sight and they will mow through anything. And before you know it, there's absolutely nothing left. Especially if it's Mr. Chicken, the boxer's bones with nubs, it's gone. It's everything. I have to hide it. So anyway, we had this Minutemen project and we were doing some dirt work. And then, you know, sometimes the boys get out of line, especially one in particular boy. He likes to get out of line. I don't know why he does. It's probably because he's like his dad. So what we have to do is we have to deal legislatively. So I have to pull them aside, you know, and teach them some legislation. And I hold him there until he stops crying. And then I said, here's the law. A rebellious son should be stoned to death. That's law. So I said, so what we're going to do is we'll have a lesson in grace. We're not going to stone you, but if you repent, we'll let you live. That straightens out the boys in a minute. So this happens with adults. If we straighten the trees early, we'll have better men later on. And God knows this. And we need to be dealt with sometimes in a legislative way as well. Thank God for the cross and for grace. But we need the teachings of the law. Oh, how I love thy law and how it keeps me alive. And this is what's happening. If you jump over to verse 6, look at it. He says, among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities in particular for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, somebody who has killed someone, that he may flee thither. So what he's looking at here is there are people in society that their life goes totally sideways, so much so that they are on the run. They are running for their lives. There is a hit out on their life for something that they did. And I don't know if it's their fault always. You never really know. Things were done in secret. And so, but either way, their life goes so bad that they have to run. Now he's saying, I want 6 particular cities that the Levites will live at. And when these guys come, they will enter into the city for safety. The priests, the Levites, will keep them safe. No one will bother them. And they live there until the high priest dies. So we're talking, could be a couple of decades, that these men that have had run their life amok will actually come, move into the city. They will have shelter, safety, and provision. And then they will have ethical teaching all the time. They will have not only ethical teaching, they will learn godliness. They will take a man who is all tatted up with spears and rings and everything, and then they will bring him amongst the priests, and we will live there, and we will actually learn godliness. So we're taking somebody who is criminally minded and then making them into a godly person. And this does not happen on Sunday morning for an hour. That's the point of living among them, so that these men will actually come and live with the priests day by day. You cannot hide. When I spend so much time with the boys, they know my flaws. I mean, they know I don't sleep in my tie. They actually learn, this is what it is, this is reality. And then if you stick with them long enough, they actually begin to talk like you and walk like you. They'll start to say things. Paul says, be ye followers of me on a daily basis. So this is the idea. We're not just going to have, you know, a 1 hour a week session where we talk about things. No, we need this whole city to be lived in so that these people who are most troublesome will actually live with the people who are most wholesome. Verse 8, it's funded. It says, and the cities which ye shall give shall be the possession of the children of Israel. From them have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities of the Levites, according to his inheritance which he inherited. That sounds like Paul, doesn't it? Give proportionally. God has blessed you immensely, you give immensely. If God hasn't blessed you that much and you're a poor guy, then okay, give the option. So it's the tithe. It's ratio. And it's donated. You come willingly donating to the work of the Lord so that the work of the Lord doesn't only happen here on Sunday, but it happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Look at it again in 15. It says, these 6 cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, so that all the world can learn. Bring this Gentile in who doesn't know anything, swears like a sailor, drinks like a pig. Bring him in. That makes a very messy church, brothers. You're going to have a church full of gossip. You're going to have a church full of this and a church full of that. And then you're going to have very righteous people come who won't want a part of that kind of church. Because our tie isn't uptight and we don't have our shoes polished. The church is a hospital for sinners. If there are no sinners here, we're doing something wrong. Even the stranger, the sojourner among them, that everyone that kills, these are not good people. Now, this is mostly accidental, but still. And that even teaches us right there. When somebody comes to the church and is in need, we kind of feel them out, because what he's saying here is there are certain people that run their ship amok, and it's their fault, but they're still halfway decent people. Then there are other people that we all know that we can just admit it and be wise. These people will always be down at the bottom of the barrel. They will not work. They will not think. They will not do what you tell them. They will not be obedient. They are what the Bible calls in the Proverbs a fool. Have nothing to do with them. We are here to make our country great again. And failure is not an option. And when you go through the layout of this and the bones of this and how a society is supposed to take care of the weak and the poor and the people who are need, they need rehabilitation, but they also need the gospel. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So they live with the priests so that they can hear the gospel always, always and over. And then what happens is we start to run into Romans 12. Look at it, because we're starting to see Jesus in this picture. At least I am. If you look at it in Luke 5, we'll see what Jesus was doing. Look over in the Gospel of Luke 5 and then we'll close. Familiar story. Luke 5:27. You know, it's nice to have a church where the people have their Bibles. And so I'll wait for you to get there, even the young ones. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, he says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom." Isn't that interesting? Levi, who is supposed to be attached, is attached to the wrong. He's a publican. "After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him," now look at this, Jesus comes up to this guy. He is a somebody. He is part of the government. He's probably a wealthy official. He's Jewish, but he's kind of a traitor, so he compromises. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me." My question is where? Somebody else came to Jesus and they said, "I will follow you whithersoever thou goest." Jesus says, "Oh, really? Because the foxes have holes, and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Which means he's kind of like a Levite. He didn't have an inheritance. Jesus didn't have a home to go to. So where does he live then? Where do you want me to follow you to? Well, look, this man, verse 28, he left all and rose up and followed him. He doesn't even know where he's going. But the principles found in the book of Numbers with the Levites is right here. Because look where he goes. "And Levi made him a great feast in his own house." Because Jesus had nowhere to go. I said this before. The homes, when they used to be built, were built with big front porches for everyone to fellowship and gather in the community. Now, we build the private deck on the back of the house so that we don't have anything to do with anyone. And Jesus says, "Follow me." Well, where are we going? Well, to your house, to eat, and fellowship. You see, because Jesus didn't just minister here or there. He lived among them. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." And isn't that what we need? That's exactly what we need. The USA needs to see his glory. And no one can tell them except for us. We can do legislation, but grace is what will bring them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician. Doesn't that sound like a Levite? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it might be you.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with Pastor Teacher Jeff Turing. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio. For more information, you can call the church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.